First John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie in the truth and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, yes. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for the peace of God, and the love of God, and the mercy of God. And we ask right now, Father God, that you give us some peace in our service, Father God, so we can hear the word of God. Father God, thank you for everything you've done.
Thank you,
we pray these things in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, last week we started our series through the letter of 1 John, and we talked about eternal life. That was the essence of what we talked about last week. But in verses 1 and 2, we see Jesus Christ being told by the disciples, by this disciple John, or the apostle John. He's saying what all the disciples would have seen and would have what they had heard. And now he's declaring it to this young church who's being bombarded by Gnosticism. Gnosticism is a term used for false teachers. We're coming into the church and trying to shipwreck their faith, telling them that Jesus Christ didn't really die on the cross, or he might have not really been born of a virgin, or he didn't rise from the grave. Sort of the same things we hear today. You know, you hear today people, you know, they blaspheme Jesus, and then he's not who he said he was, and he's not for all the people, and he's not for the black man or the white man. He's the white Jesus. And you hear it, and it's a form of Gnosticism, just a false teaching. So here the disciples are determined to really try and convince these young believers that they have seen the Lord. Watch what they say in verse number 3. And we're going to pick up our message today in verse 5. That's where we stop. But it's important that we look at verse 3. Because they're on trial and they're giving a testimony to the jury who's basically trying them. That which we have seen. That's great evidence.
Amen.
Visual evidence. The most important kind. What did you see? When you work in law enforcement, you're writing a police report, they give you the four H's in a W. Who, what, when, and where, and why. Okay? That which we have seen. Verse 3. And heard. They understood what Jesus said. They understood what he said when he said, hey, he's come to one to die for our sins. And declare we unto you. The word declare means that's what they're preaching. That's what they're teaching. They're trying to convince not only those readers in those days, but these letters are important for us today. We unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And there's more into that, having fellowship, not just so much coming together, but coming together and having an understanding of who Jesus is so you could love him like John did. Mm-hmm. Love him like John did. And we know John was one of the apostles that Jesus loved. He was the apostle that Jesus loved. Okay? And it says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, which would take us back to the Gospel of John, which John wrote. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Okay? And the Word became what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. So we see in verse number four, as we work our way to verse number five, it says, in these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. We talked about that last week. Just a little bit on what it means to have joy that's full. And I listen to Sister Sylvia pray, and we see hopelessness all around. Hopelessness all around. And you see a lot of the protests, a lot of the hatred, a lot of the bitterness, a lot of what you see is based on a world without hope. Okay? Yeah. A world that has put all their hope in this world. Okay, they have no hope for the future, no hope for heaven, no none of the joys that come with knowing that when this life is over, you're going to be in heaven with the Lord. So we put all our eggs in one basket. If we don't get it all down here, we're not going to get it. We're not going to get it. And Paul writing to this subject, he says in Ephesians 3:19, he says, and to know the love of Christ. That was important to Paul. That was important to Paul and all that Paul taught. Anyone that Paul would talk to, this would resonate in Paul's writing. He wanted the people, like John, but he wanted the people to know the love of Christ. That was important. That should be important to us as believers, as Christians, as a pastor. It ought to be important to us. This passage in Ephesians 3:19 should be important. And to know the love of Christ. He's praying that his people would know the love of Christ. Watch else what he says. Which passes knowledge. The knowledge of this world. The knowledge of this world don't compare with the love of Christ. He says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You be filled with all the fullness of God. What does it mean to be filled with all the fullness of God? Think about that. Be filled with his love. We talk about on Wednesday, be filled with his joy, be filled with his peace, be filled with his patience. To be filled with it. That would change your walk, wouldn't it? That would change the walk of the church if the church was filled with the love of Christ.
Amen.
Filled with the love of Christ. Paul would go on to say, "Men, be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit." It's like, how I get filled with the Spirit? You get filled with the Spirit the same way you get filled with wine. I was out listening. I seen a lady sitting in the car, and she was just stoned out, just asleep. And I knocked on the window. Hey, you all right in there? And she could hardly lift her head up. That's how you get filled. You get filled with the Spirit the same way you get filled with the wine. Just keep taking it in.
Yes.
Just keep taking it in. Keep taking it in. Watch this. Watch this wonderful verse. I give you these wonderful verses today. Romans 15. Here's a wonderful verse, 15:13. Watch what Paul's talking about here. He's teaching the Romans. And the Romans, and the Romans, well, these are Gentile Romans and Gentile believers in Rome. And he's trying to get them some understanding too. This verse, when I thought about it, I just see so many things. One, two, three, four, five, six things Paul expresses to these Romans. these Roman, these believers in Rome. And we look at our world, and I said it's full of hopelessness. And at Rome at this time would have been full of hopelessness. And Paul says, now he gives God a name. He says, now the God of hope. Imagine that. Talking to hopeless people and say, well, you know what? And they'll look at us and they say, why aren't you hopeless? Why aren't you hopeless? And it gives you your entry. And you can say, now the God of hope. That's his name. You know what's about the names of God? There's hundreds of them. But here he says, now the God of hope. Watch what he does. Fill you with all joy. Yes. Fill you with all joy. Yes. Joy, Paul, Peter says, joy unspeakable. Full of glory. He said, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. How about that? Where you get this joy? Where you get this peace? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Or it could say, should not be hopeless. When you know you have everlasting life, what's the reason to be hopeless? That you may abound in hope. Paul didn't ask that you just have hope. He don't want you to just have hope, Mary. He don't want you to just have, you know, I got hope. No. He wants you to abound in hope. He wants your hope to be so enormous and so big that guess what you can do with it? Give it away. You can give it away, and guess what happens? It just keeps coming back. It just keeps coming back. Because you are bound in hope. It's like it's just flowing. You go to one of the little weddings. They had a little chocolate thing. And constantly, the whole time the wedding, it's just flowing. And you're like, where is it coming from? Well, you know it's got a motor in there. And it's just being pushed up. But the believer is sort of like that. And hope just abounds in them. You get a believer that has no hope. Then you have a reason to question. You have a reason to question. You say, Mom, why is your hope so weak? Brother, why your hope so weak? Sister, why your hope so small and so fragile and so... Watch this. That you may abound in hope, Paul, still in Romans 15. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 said, when you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you receive power. If you have no hope, you have no power. The two go together. If you have no hope, you have no power. And I myself also persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness. Paul wants you to be full. He wants you to be full. I'm just pushing this verse to the limit. He said he wants you to be full of goodness. Ask yourself that. Are you full of goodness? Are you filled with knowledge? That's what he says next. Are you filled with knowledge?
Yes, yes.
Hopelessness. When I see it, you recognize it. It's angry. Angry person is a person that is showing you, I don't have hope. I don't have hope. When I watch the rioters and the looters and all that crazy stuff, I'm watching people, I don't have hope. If hopeless person take matters in their own hands, they won't give it to God. Let's keep going. Just keep going on that verse. I'm back. And he says, these things I write unto you that your joy may be full. Now here's what we pick up today. I don't know if I get past verse 5 because it jumped out at me. And he says this in verse 5. He says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light.
Yes.
God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him alone. Okay? This is the message. What is the message? I beat you guys down with this all the time. What is the gospel message? You ought to know. John 3:16. That's the gospel message. Somebody put it out. You know, what's your favorite passage in the Bible? John 3:16. What is the gospel message? This is the message which we have heard of him, that God, Jesus, died for our sins and rose from the grave. He died for our sins and rose from the grave, which we have heard of him. What do you mean heard of him? What he taught. In Mark 10, 32, he's on his way to the cross. And the disciples are worried. Everybody's worried. And he's moving hard. He's on his way. And he said, when I get there, they're going to spit on me. They're going to scourge me. They're going to mock me. They're going to humiliate me. They're going to press a crown of thorns on me. I mean, they're going to do everything. And then he said, after they do all that, they're going to kill me. And what did he say? But on the third day, I'm going to rise again. That's the message. He never wavered from that. That's the message of the gospel. Okay? Now he says, and we declare this unto you. This is why, I tell you all the time, I'm like a broken record. Okay? I am a broken record. Every preacher ought to be a broken record. I think a lot of preachers struggle. They try to create a message when the message is already written. It's already written. We got 66 books of it. And every book will declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's the message we ought to declare unto the people. What's the message? God is light. God is light. Now, I got stuck on God is light. I mean, remember when Jesus was teaching. Jesus is teaching. I'm going to read this whole story because it just lines up with what I want to say. Jesus is teaching, just like I'm teaching today. And that's what preaching is. You know, preachers is teaching. I think everything else is overblown. They complaining now because, the governor said you can't sing in church. All right. I read the scripture in Colossians, let make a joyful noise in your heart. Okay? Nobody can stop you from singing. They already told people you can't pray no more. How many years ago they said you can't pray no more? Who listened to that? Who can't pray no more? When can't you pray? I can pray whenever I want to pray. I don't got to pray out loud. Okay? So here's Jesus teaching, and he's teaching on the Mount of Olives in John 8. Now, I just want to read this because when I get to verse number 12, it just really pushes the whole narrative. It said, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, John 8, 1 and 2, and early in the morning, he came unto the temple. Early in the morning, came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. That's what he did in the temple. It didn't say he came down to entertain them. It don't say anything about the choir. Okay? It don't say anything about the music director. It don't say anything about them taking up offerings or any of that stuff. He came into the temple, and he sat down and taught them. Stay with me. And the scribes and the Pharisees, while he's teaching, okay? When the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, right where he could see it, interrupted the service. I always tell people, every time Jesus preached, it was interruptions. Okay? Von Von would have been a welcome addition to Jesus preaching. Because it always went on. It was always distractions. Jesus preaching, once he preaching, and a woman come grabbing all on his legs and taking virtue out of him. Another time he's preaching, somebody cutting a hole through the roof. Dropping a man down. There's always disruptions when the word of God is being preached. Here's Jesus preaching, and they lay a woman and caught in the very act of adultery. Okay? Taken in adultery. Now, I know some of the women here, why didn't they bring a man? I know, I can hear it coming from my left side. And when they had her set in the midst, watch this now, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. That's just... All right, I'm going to leave that alone. In the very act. I mean, it's a setup. Mm-hmm. Now, Moses in the law commanded. Now, they're going to teach Jesus. They're going to interrupt his class. Now, they're going to teach him. Now, Moses in the law commanded us such that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? Well, that's the law. That's the law. The law required you called adultery. You were stoned. That's why David knew that he should have died. Okay? That was the law. The law didn't have no grace. There was no wiggle room. You got caught, you died. That was the law. This they said, verse 6, tempting him, that they might have an excuse to accuse him. Watch this. But Jesus, because he's the light of the world. What does light do? What does light do? It reveals things. When you come into this church at night and if it's dark and you don't know what's going on, you pop on a light, guess what you know? You know what's going on. Because you can see everything. Okay? This they said tempted him, that they might have it to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger rolled on the ground as though he heard them not. Okay? Stay with me. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at him. The sinless one, you got no sin in your life. You get to throw the first stone. And he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. They set her down. She's standing down. Why is she standing now? Her sins have been forgiven. Let me stick with this story. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. None but the woman. Where did everybody else go? See, what does light do? It reveals. So the light of the world was present and it revealed everything that was going on in them elders' lives and them scribes and Pharisees and none of us got it all together.
Amen.
Okay? And none of us got it all together and none of us would have been at that session. None of us would have been there when it was all said and done. We would all got up and left. Okay? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go thee and sin no more. Watch this now. After all that's over, watch what Jesus do. He get right back to teaching. He gets right back to teaching. And then spake Jesus again after the interruption. I like that. Saying, I am the light of the world. How about that? I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now I have to ask the question, what's it mean to walk in the light? What's it mean to walk in the light? I have to ask that question. I mean, you have impact. You're going to be seen. And you're gonna shine on people. I like what Jesus said in Matthew 5:14. He said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under feet. We have a responsibility. We need to be salty. We need to be salty. Okay? We need to be salty. But here's our verse on the light. You are the light of the world. How about that? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. If you're a man of God, a woman of God, and then you are you have a responsibility to be light. Wherever you go. Don't matter where you go. No matter where you go, you ought to be light. Okay? Folks ought to be able to come to you and say, help me, I'm in darkness. Help me, I'm hopeless. What does the word of God say about this situation, that situation? And we can't just give them our own advice, okay? And a lot of Christians give them unbiblical advice. We ought to be able to give biblical advice to people who are hopeless.
Amen.
Okay? Peter said we ought to always have an answer for those who question us about what? The hope that's within us. Why do you have hope? Why do you have hope? Why are you not worried to death about everything? When you're going through this, you got all these things going on. Why aren't you a nervous wreck? Is that hope? I got a hope that passive all understanding. Okay? We are the light of the world. I guess the business of the church. Seriously. And I got a small church pastor website that I get on, and they supposed to talk about small church stuff. And all of them on it yesterday, the conversation was, we planted our vacation. And you know, y'all know that probably got under my skin a little bit. I'm like, hey, wait, we got a pandemic going on. We got the church in disarray. And that's what they're talking about, their vacation. Oh, I'm planning on going on vacation. And I'm not taking my phone. I don't want to bother with none of my church people. I'm sitting here like, it just didn't sound right to me. And I guess I stuck out a sore thumb. I'm like, that don't sound right to me. Because I think the business of the church is not only to save, but to do what? To enlighten people, bring light into the life. Why? Because Christ is the light. And as his disciples, as his followers, as his learners, we ought to bring light. I don't care how dark the situation is. It ought to change when the man or woman of God come in the room. It ought to change. Why? That's who we are. That's who we are. Children of light. I mean, there's no getting around it. We are commanded by the word of God to be light. Watch what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians. He said, you are the children of light. That ain't a suggestion. That's what he's saying. He's saying to these believers who weren't believers when he first came to the city of Thessalonians. Y'all know the story in 1 Thessalonians. He said, when I came to you, we came not only with word, but with power. And their whole lives were changed. And now we get to chapter 5. And he said, ye are the children of light. Teaching them. Okay? And the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. That's Paul teaching. I wonder if Paul would even be welcome in some of these churches. They're so lightweight, okay? If a pastor had a pastor's position open and Paul showed up with his credentials and his preaching style, would they even take him? He's just so insensitive. He's too strong. You know. Listen, Paul says, ye are the children of light, okay? Who's the father of lights? What's James 1:17 says? Okay. He says, he is the father of lights. Who are the lights? We are his children. We are the father of lights. He's the father of lights. And every good and perfect gift comes from above. He's the father of lights. And the moment you sign up, like Dick and Jeremy said, you're either on one side or the other. The moment you sign up, you become his children. Amen. And like any of us who have had children, they fall under our jurisdiction. And if we say we're the children of God, then you're saying something.
Amen.
You're saying something. I gotta tell people, hey, be careful with that. Okay? Be careful with that. We are the children of light. Then we are bound to be what? Awake. Okay? Sons of darkness, children of darkness. Know what they do? Slumber and sleep. Slumber and sleep. All day. Okay? All day. Let me give you this one. You know, I had somebody tell me, Paul wasn't writing with God's backing. Well, if Paul wasn't writing with God's backing, if what Paul was writing was not ordained by God and justified by God, then two-thirds of the Bible don't make any sense. God used Paul mightily. Okay? He says this in 2 Corinthians 4:6. I'm not going to be He says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say, that's a lot of stuff. Okay. Let me tell you something. What it said in a nutshell. Okay. This is not a suggestion. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have what? Shined in our hearts. Okay. He shined in our hearts. And the text says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, and this is the new heart. This is the heart that God has shined on. Because before God shined on our hearts was dark. Well, let me say that, because some of y'all may not have had a dark heart before. You guys say, I had a dark heart, and a dark heart led to me having dark thoughts, and the dark thoughts led to me having doing dark deeds and all this stuff. And you ever talk to somebody with a dark heart? They real secretive, they real sneaky, squirmy, okay? And they always ain't gonna open up around you unless you a child of darkness. Okay, but when the Lord have shined in our hearts and illuminated our hearts and opened our hearts up, think about Lydia. Think about Lydia. And Paul preached to Lydia. And I imagine he just gave her the gospel over and over and over until her heart was changed. The Bible says, and God opened her heart. Really mean God shined in her heart. That don't mean he opened it up. He just shined in her heart. Gave her a new heart. Gave her a new heart. Gave her a new heart. So many folks, when I look at what Sylvia was praying about, all the hopelessness, all the hatred. You know, people say, racist. I listen, it's just a form of hatred. That's all it is. You ain't gonna find racism in the Bible. You'll find evil. You'll find hatred. You'll find bitterness. You'll find wrath. You'll find malice, and it's all in that word. Find it. So we see we identify because we're children of light. That light protects us too. How many of us in here have been protected by God's light? We've been protected by God's light. We talked about that about Samson this morning in Sunday school. Samson, the reason why Samson was so arrogant, God took care of Samson. God protected him to the point where he abused God's protection. Let me read this verse. It's interesting. A lot of when I started looking up the word light and how it applies to this subject, Paul writing again in Romans to the church at Rome in verse 13 and 11, he says in that knowing the time, how about that? Knowing the time, do you guys know the time? He says that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Sam, tomorrow ain't guaranteed. Next Sunday ain't guaranteed. Next Sunday is not guaranteed that I'll look out here and see the same faces. Or that I would even be up here. Okay? Yes. Then Paul says the night is far spent. The night is far spent. And we just spent a lot of time. We just spent a lot of time on foolishness. Okay? We didn't spend a lot of time in trying to do what this world wants us to do. He said the night is far spent. He said, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. How about that? Cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of God. That's not what it says. But God is light. It said, let us put on the armor of light. Okay. Let us not walk. He said, let us walk how? Honesty. Honestly. As in the day. Then he gives some points. You know, and when you study Paul, he breaks things down. He gives you, he's not gonna just tell you some crazy stuff and try to have you figure it out. He said, let us walk honestly. And somebody say, what do you mean walk honestly, Pastor? As in the day. as in the light. See, when you watch all the rioters and stuff, they start rioting tonight. It'd be, oh, it's peaceful during the day. But watch what it says. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. That's how the world do it. And I know I laid some big words up. He said, well, what's all that mean? Okay. Well, y'all know what not in rioting means. And y'all know what not in drunkenness means. What about chambering? What does that mean? Not in chambering. You know what that word means? It's in Greek means immodest. Immodesty. That's just big today. I ain't just riding around. It's like people don't wear clothes anymore. Sometimes some of us just can't wait till winter come back. I'm like, seriously? Okay. Listen. Chambering. He said, not in chambering. Okay? Immodest. Some stuff is just immodest. There's just some stuff Christians ain't supposed to wear. And the pastor shouldn't have to be the one saying it. Then he says, not in chambering and wantonness. Wantonness means just filthy behavior. Just filthy behavior. The reference is the behavior of Sodom and Gomorrah. Wantonness. Just don't care. Just don't care. I don't care who see me. I don't care what people think. That kind of behavior. That kind of behavior. That kind of behavior. Uh-oh. Was he writing this letter? He wrote it. John wrote it. He said, walk in the light as he is the light. Amen. See, I can blow by it and say, I don't like blowing by Texas. And I want you to know what it means, walk in the light. I'm going to say, well, you walk in the light. Okay, Pastor, that was a good sermon. You walk, but don't have a clue. You leave here, somebody say, hey, what the preacher preach about? Well, he said, we ought to walk in the light. What's that mean? I don't know. Yeah, he just went to another. He just changed the subject. No, when you leave here today, you know what it means to walk in the light. Okay?
Amen.
Separation. See what light does is separates darkness. Mm-hmm. You can't walk in light and darkness at the same time. See, the moment I turn on the flashlight, everything changed. Okay? I got lights. I put some lights on the trees. See, once I'm home, working from home, I got too much time on my hands. So I ordered these lights and I drilled them on all the trees in our yard. Okay, so people walk, when you walk through the yard, you see lights come on, pop. So me and Maya have this ritual. Every night, me and Maya, we go outside, I carry around, and we look at the lights pop, I'll make sure they're all working. But what's this do? Because they're in dark places. As soon as you walk by them, they're like sensors on, boop, the light come on. She points at them, that light come on. See? Light separates darkness. You can't walk in darkness with a flashlight in your hand. Imagine if you had one of them hats, they got the little straps, you put the light on the forehead. Mm-hmm. Once you turn that on and the coal miners wear them, guess what? Darkness is gone. Darkness is gone. Now watch what Paul says. He's going to ask five questions. See if you can see the five questions he asked. Five questions that he demands in 2 Corinthians 6:14, because separation is a part. Separation is a big part of Christianity. Okay? See, and the reason people don't have no respect for Christianity, no respect for the church, is because there's no difference between the church and the world. Okay? The divorce rate is the same amount of people in the church using drugs, the people on the streets using drugs. I mean, everything that's going on in the world is going on in the church, and people look at the church and say, it's just the same. Saved people act just like unsaved people. There's no real difference. And the gospel, if it's preached properly, says there's a difference.
Amen.
There's a difference. Okay? A Christian ought to stand out like a sore thumb. Mm-hmm. Ought to stand out like a sore thumb. Okay? Here's five questions. 2 Corinthians 14, 15, and 16. Five questions. Paul says, here's five questions that we must be able to answer as believers. And they all start with what? I'll make it easy for you. They all start with what? Okay? Paul says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. How about that? Yoked together. Y'all know I've talked about yoked together. You know, that's a farming term. We got two animals, and they're on a yoke. And if one animal's clean and one animal's unclean, guess what? You got a problem. You ain't going to be able to go straight. You're not going to be able to plow a straight line because the unclean animal want to go to the right or to the left, and the clean animal want to go to the right. And guess what? You're going to be fighting them all the way. It's going to be a long day on the farm. Okay? So a smart farmer would do what? He would yoke two unclean animals together or two clean animals together. But he would not yoke a clean animal with an unclean animal. And you get in a relationship, okay, with a clean person. And you unclean, or that clean person getting in a relationship with somebody that's unclean, guess what? Somebody's going to win the battle. You're going to fight. So Paul says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay. It would be foolish for me to start a business with an unbeliever. If an unbeliever came up to me with a business proposition and he said, you know what, I want to open up a club. I heard you got some cash, and I want to open up a sports bar with strippers and drinking all night, and you can make a whole lot of money. Y'all know I like making money because I like making money. Okay? But would that be a good deal? Why wouldn't that be a good deal? Because if we go all across town, you know, the pastor of the church is the co-owner of the whatever you want to call it, the burlesque club or something. I have no idea. Okay. See, the dude drop in, whatever, yo. Okay. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Here's our first question. And he said, what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteous? How productive is that conversation going to be if one person believes and one person don't? And you love talking about the Lord, and you love talking about the things of God, and that person don't. Now, I tell people all the time, I can talk about football, basketball. I can talk about some stuff for a little while, but sooner or later, I want to get down to the nitty-gritty. Okay? So Paul said, what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? Second question. And what communion have light with darkness? That's an easy one, huh? Mm-hmm. Turn on the light. Mm-hmm. And what communion have light with darkness? Once you turn on the light, what communion have light with darkness? Nothing. Nothing. Light gone. Oh, I don't want to be. Because light don't want to be around darkness. That's the spiritual meaning of it. And then here's this third question. And what concord or what agreement or what love have Christ with Belial? Belial was a god, a little g god, okay? They didn't believe in the things of God. They worshiped Belial. And this is a picture of a person trying to worship God and the devil. How's that work? Doesn't work. Same text, and he answers another question. He says, what part have he that believeth with an infidel? What's an infidel? A non-believer. Infidel. That's one of the words that you hear Islam say about Christianity. They'll call Christianity. There's an infidel. Because we don't believe in the God they believe in. See, in Islam, they say, well, you know, Allah doesn't have no son. See, our whole doctrine in Christianity is based on John 3:16, his only begotten son. But in Islam teaches Allah has no son. Okay? So our whole way of thinking as Christian is ludicrous to Islam, because we worship in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And they say that's foolishness because God has no son. God has no son. So I hear people say, well, you know, one of my best friends is Muslim. Well, not if you're a Christian. Because what a Muslim is saying about Christianity is this a false religion. And Jesus is a liar. And he's not only a liar, but the biggest liar of all time, because he said he was God's son. And he said he was God. He said, if you've seen me, You seen the father. So how long you think I'm gonna be able to talk to a Muslim about things of God? Okay? Not long. And believe me, I deal with them on a regular basis. Not long. Because they hate Jesus. They hate Jesus. They ain't gonna come out and say it. And they'll say like Farrakhan say. And Farrakhan, he said, well, he's a good teacher. He's a good prophet. And he'll say, like the prophet Jesus said. And every time he says that, he's calling Jesus a liar. Because one thing you will never hear Farrakhan say, that he's the Messiah. You will never hear him say he is the Messiah, the Son of God, who came to die for the sins of the world. Okay? I know it's getting popular now. It's getting popular now among black folks. We leave in Christianity because we leave in Christianity by the droves. And we moving into being radicalized and we moving into stuff like that. Okay? Now I get called a lot of stuff. Okay? It's going to cost you something to serve God in these coming days. And I'm excited. You a coon. You a housey. I ain't a housey. Guy called, he said, you's a housey. Because I believe in Jesus. I'm a housey. Another guy called me. He called me a hoop jumping house. Y'all know the other word, start with an N. And you know, then they say, you a Negro pen. That's a Negro pen. See, they're going to call you all. They're going to give you all this stuff because you believe in Jesus. I'm going to believe him to the day that I die. Okay? You know why? Let me stand on this verse in Matthew 7. He said it's a... Okay? It's a narrow road. And see, when all this stress is coming, all this adversity, all these pandemics, all this political stuff, you know what it's doing? Narrowing the road. Narrowing the road, okay? Because God is pruning, God is proving, God is testing, God is proving his church. Paul said, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he said, there must be heresies among you. Why, Paul? To prove you. See, you have to be proved. You're not getting to heaven, not proved. You can talk about it all day. You can talk about heaven, I'm on my way. You're going to get tested. You're going to get proved. You're going to get on that wheel. It's going to get hot. And you're going to say, Potter, let me off. And the Potter said, no, that's more work to do. Because he's going to prove you. Okay? He's going to prove you. So Paul says, he said, and see, Paul wouldn't be popular. That's why I love him so much. He said, what agreement have the temple of God? What agreement have the temple of God with idols? This is all in the same text. What agreement? Agreement is, you know, it's a deal. We struck a deal. We got an agreement, a handshake agreement, whatever. I'm going to sell you something. And we sign a contract. He says the church cannot assign a contract with idols. With idols. Why, Paul? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Be my people. If you're going to be God's child, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. What Paul talking about light. He says this. We don't like talking about separation. No, but church, we can't separate. We got to be part of the world. We part, you know, and the church looks so much like the world. And I just sit here and I listen and listen to some of the stuff that come out of the church anymore. It's just so compromising and weak. We don't want no strife. We don't want no adversity. We don't want nothing. We just want to be left alone. Paul says this. Imagine him coming to a church in Youngstown. He says, wherefore, church, he's talking to the church. Wherefore, come out from among them. Come out from among them. And be ye separate. Be ye separate, say the Lord. Not Paul. He said, well, Paul's writing wasn't inspired. Well, I don't know. Say the Lord and touch not the unclean thing.
Amen.
Okay? Okay? Let me read that again, because there's a follow-up. There's a follow-up. I left a big piece of that out. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Say the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now, a lot of stuff falls in the unclean thing category. Okay? You know what it is. We all know. We all touchy. I'm touchy. Okay? The pandemic is killing me because I'm just touchy. I like touching and hugging and patting people on the back and all that kind of stuff. Watch this, though. Watch this. Come out from among them. That's not a suggestion, Deacon Jeremy. He's not saying, you know what, you ought to think about weeding your garden and watching who you hang around with, because some of the people you hang around with doesn't really do good for your Christianity. You shouldn't probably hang around with those kind of people. That's not what he's saying. That's not how the Word of God, that's how some of these preachers would put it. You know, you need to think about, you know, who you hang around with. Some of those people are bad. No, that's not how God talks with. God ain't that kind of God. That's what he said. If you're gonna serve me, he said, come out from among them and be ye separate, say the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Then the last part of it here. And I will receive you. He's not going to receive you while you're touching the unclean thing.
Amen.
Okay? He's not going to receive you while you hanging around with folks that don't worship and praise God. He's not going to receive you. That's what the text is saying. Okay? And when you come out, and when you understand all the five what's in that text, then, and only then, does verse 18 apply to you. And I will be a father unto you. Mm-hmm. And you shall be my sons and daughters, say the Lord Almighty.
Amen.
That's a lot of text to get to that, but I don't like this cheap Christianity that we have today. It's just cheap and sloppy. Okay? Cheap and sloppy. Well, I don't know how long I've been. Oh, maybe y'all have now. I got one more. We separation of the light. Here, let's do this last one. Stand in the light. Stand in the light. That word stand don't mean you just stand there. I mean, you can't be knocked over. You can't be pushed around. Darkness ain't gonna push you around. Okay? And here's Peter, right? He's gonna give you a reason why you're not gonna be pushed around. You know, Christians ain't pushovers. See, we've evolved into being pushovers. Let's take anything. But here's what Peter says. Y'all familiar with this verse? 1 Peter 2:8-9. He says, but ye are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. What about that? A holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that have called you out of darkness into his marvelous life. You are a chosen generation, God's chosen race. Just like Israel was God's chosen people, Christians are now God's chosen people. We are chosen people. We are royalty. We are royalty. Okay? You're not going to find royalty hanging around with craziness, because you're going to recognize I'm royalty. You're going to be out somewhere, you're going to say, you know what? You get ready to do something crazy. Anybody? Am I only one, Mary? You get ready to do something crazy, and then you recognize, and your spirit say, now you know you royalty. Or something get ready to come out of your mouth. Margaret, you know what I'm talking about. Something get ready to, you feel it in your toes, and it's moving all the way up, and you getting ready to lay somebody out, and then you realize, I'm royalty. Okay? Because Because we have to recognize that, and we have all these thoughts and all these temptations and all this chaos, and we can get out of our royalty now. I know. Evelina, we can get it. Listen, folks can come in your office and get you out of your royalty. See, Satan will send some folks. They'll be conniving in the back room by the water cooler. Yeah, let's go and see if we can get her out of her royalty today. Get over there and say something sideways to you, crazy. And you have to catch your breath. Yeah. I'm royalty. I done been there, man. I done been there. You don't work at a prison 30 years and don't. See, I could be in here. See, I've never forgot that. See, people say, "What makes? Why are you so respected by the inmate?" Listen, because I realize, for it had not been for the grace of God, I'd be in here. I'd be wearing blues.
Amen.
Okay, they got a size that fit me, but it's only by God's grace. Okay. It's only by God's grace. I like what Paul said. You are a chosen generation. Okay? All right, see, our young kids don't understand that because the preacher stopped teaching. Listen, young babe, you are royalty. We don't teach you no more. Pastors want to be thugs. Pastors want to be thugs. I hear pastors cussing and swearing, and they want to be cool with the thug crowd. Listen, you are royalty. And when the thugs come in, they ought to want some of that royalty.
Amen.
You see them come in. I see pastors now, they spagging and all that, you know. Don't lose your royalty. Okay? Paul, John writing in Revelation, I'm going to close. He says this in Revelation 1 and 6. He said, "And he have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, and to him be glory, dominion, forever and ever and ever and ever." We are royalty. We are royalty. How y'all want to be a royalty? That ought to make us live, talk different, walk different. Royalty. Precious Lord, we are royalty today. We ask right now that you be with us as we leave this place. Be with us, Father God, as we encounter temptations. Be with us today, Father God. Is that evil that's always around us, Father God, presses us. Let us shine like light in a dark world. Father, we ask right now that you be with everybody that's here, will hear this message. Because these times are different. These times are different. And the church is being tested. It's being checked. It's being challenged. And Father God, only the strong will survive. Only the strong will survive. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.